former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, it's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, alongside our buddy Tim Murray, filling in for Michael Lombardi on this second round Saturday of the NCAA tournament. We always have Tim on throughout our shows on Saturdays to analyze college hoops. So I said, what better time than to have Tim just do the full show, buddy? How are we doing today?
I'm great. Yesterday, a little bit better from a betting standpoint than Thursday, but all in all, it's a beautiful day. The bracket has been recalibrated behind us at Circa, and as they like to say, it's the calm before the storm, because these seats will start to get filled in, and we're going to have a college basketball game in just about 2.5 hours. But it should be a fun day, no doubt.
Yeah, we're going to have people already lining up at the betting window here at Circa. Folks are getting those bets in. As we always say, though, pro tip, make sure you have the app if you're out here in Las Vegas to avoid all those lines. But if you're just vacationing, now is a good time, better than any, to go ahead and get your bets in for the day. We do have a fun show for you guys over these next 2 hours. Starting in 30 minutes, Justin Perry, shot quality analyst, also the host of the Justin Perry Show, will join us in studio. He's been in here in Vegas. He's been doing some live streams here at Circa. We'll talk to Justin Perry and see what he thought of the first round. Also get what he thinks will happen a little bit later on today in the second round action. Then in the second hour at 11:15 Eastern, 8:15 Pacific, our buddy Wes Reynolds, host of VSiN Tonight, will discuss all of these college basketball games with us, who he likes today, his big impressions from the first couple of days of the tournament. And then his co-host of VSiN Tonight, Matt Youmans, in his typical spot at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, to discuss, guess what, more college basketball, because it is that kind of day here. And Tim, before we get into today's game, the action will tip off with Dayton and Arizona in Salt Lake City. Talk about an early tip-off time.
10:45 a.m.
It's a lot.
We have seen the first half under. They have not thrived.
No.
I believe they went well under 500. I know our friends over at the Sports Gambling Podcast were keeping an eye on that, and it did not go all that well. However, the first two games of the day, the first game on Thursday, which was Michigan State, Mississippi State, and then yesterday, FAU and Northwestern. Ooh. First half unders did come home. So maybe get the eye boogies out of there. So we will see. But 10:45 a.m. start time out in Salt Lake City for Dayton and Arizona.
I'm looking at that first half total right now. Is that 70? There's some 70 and a halfs in the market. So for those who want to dabble, it's a brunch time tip off in Salt Lake City. If you want 70 and a half or 70, that's your first half total with that game. Before we get into that, though, your takeaways from the first round as a whole, but also specifically yesterday, what we saw, some big upsets. We saw the late night, the 2-12s, James Madison, and we also saw Grand Canyon advancing in those 12-5 upsets.
Yeah, I think a lot to take away. First and foremost, what a disastrous first 2 days for the SEC. I mean, to have this conference have multiple double-digit favorites lose outright. Kentucky on Thursday, and then yesterday, what happened with Auburn? Auburn was a team, look, I'll raise my hand, and I will say Auburn was a team that I believe could make a run and potentially knock off a team like UConn, Femi. And ultimately what happens is they fall apart, up 10, had many opportunities to force at least overtime, don't get there. But you look at the SEC, Tennessee takes care of business, and you know Rick Barnes' squad, which has its questions always. But them and Alabama, outside of that, South Carolina, even though they went off as a dog, they were the sixth seed, they get blown out. Mississippi State started the tournament, a team that I thought could beat Michigan State. They lose by 18. I think all in all, a pretty disappointing performance, 3-5 straight up for the SEC. So I think that was the bigger takeaway. And then late night, which you mentioned, the 2-12 seeds, and we were talking about this a little bit off air, where you sometimes see these upsets, and they were upsets based off of the point spreads, but there was no fluke about James Madison or Grand Canyon last night. You could say Oakland was a bit fluky. Jack Golke, the man, the myth, the legend. We'll hear from Greg Campy a little bit later on in the show and how they have to beat NC State. But the dude hit 10 threes.
Yeah.
James Madison and Grand Canyon were just the better teams in both of those games. And that's why I think when you look ahead to Sunday, Grand Canyon versus Alabama and James Madison versus Duke, I think both of those games are fascinating, because to me, when you look at the fluky nature of some upsets, I don't know about you, Femi, but I didn't see anything fluky from Grand Canyon. I mean, you look at some of the pieces that are on, you know, Grand Canyon, for instance. I mean, Tyon Grand Foster, great story. I mean, suffered a cardiac arrest when he was at DePaul. He is now thriving at Grand Canyon, averaging 20 points per game. You look at the athleticism on the court last night. If you remove the seeds and you just looked at the two teams that were playing, you would have thought the five seed was Grand Canyon.
Yeah. And usually, like, the anatomy of the upset is, like you said, with Oakland, they made a bunch of threes. Yeah. Golkey goes out of body experience, 10 3-pointers, although he's done it before.
He's done it before,
in this
baby.
Season. But you look at what James Madison shot, 5 of 17, 29% from three. Grand Canyon, 5 of 18, 27% from three. It was just an authentic wire-to-wire job from both teams, and they just were the flat-out better teams. Now, going forward, you kind of have to look at those teams and say, hey, should Duke, should Alabama be on upset alert? Because they're kind of hanging out in that 6-point range as favorites right now, getting that respect from the market. Duke even got bet this morning. They're having now to 7.5 and even an 8 in the market. Is it a little bit too much betting those teams, or do Grand Canyon and do James Madison have the potential to be second weekend teams as 12 seeds?
I think both of them do. And, you know, we could break these games down and whether or not they're worth a bet. You know, I like to be as transparent as possible. You know, we always like to puff out our chest on the CLV trophies. I was on the wrong side of this move. I took some 7 with James Madison last night, Femi, because I thought the market would go the other way. And we'll see what ultimately happens. But you know, this was a team in James Madison that, as you alluded to, did not shoot necessarily great from three. But what they did was, man, they were forcing turnover after turnover. 14 steals in this game yesterday or last night for James Madison. So you look ahead to this matchup against Duke, where Kyle Filipowski, you know, is he going to have a better performance? I think that is certainly the case as well. So, yeah, James Madison, a team that, you know, only lost 3 regular season games. And as it went on through this lead up, I did not have a bet on James Madison, Wisconsin, because it just felt like of all the 12 versus 5s, and a year ago, 12 seeds went 0-4 straight up, 0-4 ATS. It felt like, Femi, of all the teams that people anticipated to win, it was James Madison. So normally, what happens? That trendy dog tends to go down hard. Let's stick, you know, New Mexico wasn't a trendy dog. They were a trendy favorite.
Yeah.
Closed the favorite against Clemson, and they got ran out of the building against Clemson. And then you look at James Madison, and they were trendy. And the trend was the friend yesterday because they absolutely took advantage of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think back to Oral Roberts last year. Like, everyone was like, oh, I love Oral Roberts against Duke. 5 minutes in, it's game over.
Game over.
Like, just Duke just runs them off of the court there. Now, I want to go back to what you said about the SEC, that being your biggest takeaway. A very poor showing so far through this tournament. Does that make you a little bit skeptical of the teams that defeated those SEC teams? Because if the takeaway is, okay, well, the SEC must not be that good, should we be a little bit worried about the Oregons? Should we be a little bit worried about maybe Michigan State, some of these teams that were able to beat up on these SEC schools that clearly the whole conference as a whole has struggled so far through this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great angle to look at. And, you know, we'll start with Michigan State and North Carolina. I mean, this is a particular showdown, Femi, where you look at Michigan State, a team that I thought was overseeded. I thought they did not deserve the 9 seed that they got. I thought this is a team that maybe should have been headed to Dayton, at very least be a 10 seed, and they get on the 9 line and they take advantage of it. This is a team that, though, was preseason very highly thought of. So you just do wonder, okay, is this a Michigan State team that is now finding its rhythm? And then you look at some of the advanced metrics. KenPom has them as the 16th best team in the country. So I don't know. I don't necessarily want to blanket everyone in the same kind of light. I think overall you could look at a disappointment when it comes to the SEC, or if you want to talk about the Mountain West. I know you had fired off a couple tweets about the old Mountain West yesterday, hashtag Mickey Mouse Conference.
Hey,
but
I report the facts.
but I do look at, you know, Tennessee and Rick Barnes. Is this a team that we can trust moving forward, knowing the nature of Rick Barnes's squads, especially Tennessee being 4-15, I believe, in the last 19 games? I mean, you can look at any metric out there regarding Tennessee, but overall, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. I think Oregon is a fascinating one. I know we'll break this game down when they play Creighton, the Dana Altman Bowl here today, as Dana Altman spent 16 years at Creighton before going to Oregon. But I'll say this about Oregon, man, they, similar maybe to Michigan State, it feels like they're finding themselves right now as we head into later into March.
Yeah, and they're healthier. That's been a thing for the Ducks all season. They haven't quite been healthy, but they got healthy in the Pac-12 tournament.
Nefali Dante versus Kalkbrenner tonight. Or this, what time is that game? Is that tonight?
Yeah, it's a tonight. I think
tonight
it's a 6:40.
Yeah, that is a fun one to watch.
It's a banger, is what the kids call. Speaking of Oregon, the Pac-12, 5-0. Conference of Champions going out with a bang here in the final year of the conference. So good they had to break the whole thing up, literally. The conference will be no more.
How about that Colorado-Florida game?
102-100.
In regulation.
In regulation.
In regulation, get a not an almost buzzer beater, baseline jumper. Felt like the Buffs were gonna blow. We had two games in regulation yesterday, 102-100, 109-96, both in regulation. It's so funny to look at this tournament. We do it with college football where, we break down the point spreads and you look at like a Navy game and it's the total's like 36. And then you look at an up-tempo team is in the 80s. The contrasting styles, I almost, part of me wanted to see Alabama play St. Mary's just because of the stark contrast and styles. But that being said, Alabama better be buttoned up, man, because Grand Canyon, this team ain't messing around.
Yeah, these SEC teams, because both of those games involved SEC teams with Bama and then Florida, games getting into the 100s, they like to play up and down in tempo. And sometimes the ball gets a little bit loose, and that's why you see teams like Kentucky going home earlier than many people thought that they would here in this NCAA tournament. We're just getting warmed up. We'll continue to break down these games. More recaps from what we saw in the first round as we also turn our attention to today's slate, second round here on the Lombardi Line. If you haven't already, make sure you check out our VSiN March Madness second round predictions and best bets article. It's over on VSiN.com, the new revamped website. No better time to check that out with it being March Madness second round action. If you're looking for some advice and best bets, go ahead, VSiN.com. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Bebefe alongside Tim Murray here. Justin Perry of Shot Quality will be joining us in studio in about 15 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on today's second round action, also what stood out to him in the first round here. But Tim, for those who don't know, host of VSiN Primetime, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern Time. Make sure you check that out as well. You guys were on the air yesterday. Obviously had a lot of fun with some of the games and some of the window that we had here. Please explain some of the...
Yeah, so, there were a couple shots at one of my family members last night that I felt were unnecessary. And my second son, I have one real one, and my other is the Mountain West. You know, it's a conference that I love since moving out here the last 4 years. You know, this conference makes a magical carpet ride to the national championship game last year. Mm-hmm. And then, as the higher seeded team, they lost, right? So there were some jabs out there. And maybe someone on VSiN, Femi Abebefe, called it a Mickey Mouse conference. And I knew that my conference, the Mountain West, would not disappoint. So here you go. From last night, my boys from Logan, Utah, they took care of business.
I saw our guy Femi. What did he say? Bamboozled or something
Bamboozled.
Like that? What was Femi's line?
Great Femi line. Shout out Femi. I love that.
I'll be working with Femi tomorrow morning. Looking forward to it. He said, quote,
"Bamboozled.
Remember when the selection committee gave 6 bids to a Mickey Mouse conference? That was funny. Jim Root, 24-50 ATS in the tourney since 2005. Aggies.
Oh, my God. I'm loving it.
Make fun of me all you want.
I love it.
Utah State, baby.
I love it.
Danny Sprinkle took care of business. I just want to point out the facts. San Diego State was a 5 seed. They won. Utah State was an 8 seed. They won. New Mexico was 11 seed. Were they the favorite? Yes. They lost, though, and they were under-seeded. And by the way,
they were eviscerated,
to Femi's point, where they gave them 6 selections, New Mexico earned said selection with an auto bid, underseeded criminally as a top 25 KenPom team. Nevada, good Lord. I don't know how they'll ever forget that. They were still the 10 seed. Colorado State, the 10 seed. Femi, the SEC lost 2 games over the past 2 days as double-digit favorites. Kentucky, ooh, they're chic. They're going to make it to the Final Four. Lost to Greg Campy in Oakland. They got gulkied. And then You look at Auburn, some dope on this table, me, picked them to win the East Region at plus 420. They lost to Yale, a team that should have lost to Brown in the Ivy League championship. So the SEC should be the Mickey Mouse conference. Put the ears on the SEC. Did they play for a national championship last year? Not in basketball.
Well, first of all, I think some people might say that the ears are already on the SEC with some of the coverage that they get at certain networks. Second of all, here's my thing. You're never going to find me defending the SEC. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, could not care less about the perception of the Southeastern Conference. But I will note, I've also been the guy on VEASAN that's saying, watch out for Kentucky. This team's not going to go far because they don't stop a soul. They get knocked out in the first round.
I was there too.
Here's my thing with the Mountain West is why I was getting on them yesterday, is that this is goes back beyond just this past season. This goes back years. I mean, this team, outside of San Diego State, which we tipped the cap to the Aztecs.
They Who was properly rated, by the way.
They were properly rated. They won their game. They go to the title game last year. Maybe we'll get a title game rematch in the Sweet 16 with them in UConn. But outside of San Diego State, prior to Utah State's triumphant victory yesterday.
Domination.
1-13. In the NCAA tournament since 2019. We're still looking for Boise State and Leon Rice to ever show up when they get to the NCAA tournament. They get to sort of go to Dayton. They said that they were underseeded. Hey, well, you went scoreless in like the last 5 minutes of the game, losing that game to Colorado. I just think that this conference...
Who beat an SEC team, by the way.
Who beat an SEC team.
Just point that out.
They're taking out the Mountain West and the SEC. Colorado's the Mickey Mouse Conference destroyers.
A seven-seed Florida got knocked off. No big deal. Just point that out.
For me, the Mountain West has to prove it beyond just one season. And you got to, and the SEC, like I said, not going to defend them. It was horrendous yesterday. However, the SEC...
Last two days.
We're not talking ourselves in the... You know, this team can make... New Mexico can make a deep run. I'm still looking for New Mexico. The whole team's on a milk carton.
Hey.
What happened to the guards?
What happened to the guards? February Lobo showed up, not the one that showed up in Thomas and Mack. I'll tap my chest on that. But hey, if New Mexico had landed on the 9 line instead of Michigan State, they probably would have beaten Chris Jans's Mississippi State squad who did not show up. So, you know, it's like when, and you're from the Pacific Northwest, so you probably defended Gonzaga, but it's like when Gonzaga inevitably gets knocked out of the NCAA. Like, well, you know, they got to play people in non-conference. You do know that this team in Gonzaga has won a first round game consecutively since 2008.
Yeah.
They've made the NCAA tournament every single year in this century, and they're probably, because they are the favorite, we'll see what happens tonight, going to make another run to the Sweet 16. But when they inevitably meet their demise, maybe to Purdue, maybe today to Kansas, it's, well, you know, they don't get tested in the non-con. Oh, the West Coast Conference doesn't prepare them. Why don't we talk about other teams that get knocked out early? So I get it. Mm-hmm. The Mountain West is taking their lumps, but I'm there to back my boys. All right. Utah State, Danny Sprinkle, who probably won't be in the Mountain West Conference come next year. Yeah. Thank you for that victory last night. You made me look smart because I went on a limb after everybody took their shots at the Mountain West for another loss with an underseeded team in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Utah State took care of business. So I just had to defend my squad.
Just saying, New Mexico was a favorite.
They were.
And they didn't show up.
They were. Proving that they were underseeded. Proving they were underseeded.
Well, I don't know if they proved it on the court. that proved that they didn't belong in the tournament. Maybe they did need to play their way in, according to the committee,
maybe,
and not even getting that even.
Maybe they could, you know, win. You know, New Mexico won their conference tournament and got underseeded. Auburn went out and won their conference tournament and lost to a team that should have lost to Brown.
Many people said Auburn was underseeded too. I'll just point that out as well.
Some people said they would beat UConn as well.
Some people said that. We're still looking for those people.
I don't know who those people will be.
We're looking for those people. Utah State, you like them to scare Elliott's Purdue?
No, producer.
Elliott's he's a Boilermaker. He's a little bit nervous.
No. They're good. I mean, hey, man, Danny Sprinkle's done an amazing job. Great Asabor. That'll be a fun matchup. Him versus Zach Edey down low. How about Zach Edey? All kidding aside about, you know, our little, you know, spat there, let's give some love to Purdue. I know. They beat the crap out of a bad team. They did lose to a 16 last year. And Zach Edey had 30-21 in this victory for Purdue. It got a little weird early on, but that's all right. I look at this region, and I like the way it's fallen for the Boilermakers right now, where you've got a 4 seed in Kansas, who's very banged up, very fortunate to beat Samford. Look, No knock on my guy Timberlake, the Towson transfer, but when he's like your go-to guy trying to throw down dunks late in the game,
yeah,
not a good look. We'll see about Gonzaga. They have a lot of flaws. I mean, if Purdue's not in the final in the Elite Eight, boy, is that's a massive a disaster. And I just think the road is setting up very nicely for the Boilermakers for a showdown. We'll see who comes out of the bottom. Is it Tennessee? Is it Creighton? Could Oregon make a magical run? The Pac-12 is your conference there, 5-0 already. So yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun to see. But this Purdue team, they lost last year. I get it. To a 16 seed. They lost 2 years ago to a 15 seed. They're different. They got better guards. Am I picking them to win the national championship? No, Femi, but I do think this is a different team, trustworthy guards, and they will be in the Elite Eight. I think they'll be in the Final Four ultimately and probably have a showdown with Houston.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's on a platter for Purdue, but this is the draw that you would draw up if you wanted to go ahead and get to the Final Four for the first time since 1980, if you're the Purdue Boilermakers. Like you said, like, Kansas is banged up. Ugh. They're compromised. They'll be honestly not lucky to get out of today, but they're an underdog. They're catching four.
It
for
does feel like that spot, though. Man, is anybody out there who wants to bet Kansas? Anyone? I'm looking hard.
Not me.
I mean, and this
I'm not betting Gonzaga, but I'm not betting Kansas.
And this is the thing. I don't have a bet on this game. I initially wanted to bet Gonzaga, but I'm going to stay off it. We're seeing the market move a little bit towards the Jayhawks here. This is Gonzaga this year, Femi, feels a little bit like. A little like Kentucky, where once you fall in love with them, they let you down. West Coast Conference Championship, St. Mary's. Yep. Everyone was back in, me included. They lay an egg. But when you're saying, I don't know about this Gonzaga team, that's where they've played their best. So they've been a hard one to read. They should win tonight or today, look, based off the odds. But I'm staying away from that game because it just feels like Bill Self and company, the chips are down right now. And nobody believes in the Jayhawks.
No. I mean, everybody believed in McNeese Thursday evening. How did that work out?
Here's Cowboys!
Here's Gonzaga by 30.
To your point, though, the variance of this crazy tournament, you're looking at a top 10 three-point shooting team in McNeese State. Could not hit water if they fell out of a boat.
Yeah, it was a tough scene for McNeese. And Gonzaga, if they beat Kansas, it'll be another Sweet 16 appearance. They've been to the Sweet 16 every single year.
Need to be tested, though, Femi.
Every year since 2015, they've been able to do it.
Is that good?
It's pretty good. Justin Perry of Shot Quality joins us in studio next here on the Lombardi Line. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. The daily best bets, the betting systems, the betting splits, the premium analysis, 24/7 video access. But most importantly right now, access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Remember, promo code Lombardi. First year of VSiN Pro access, only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys at the Circa Resort and Casino here in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Tim Murray here and joining us in studio.
Hey.
It's our buddy Justin Perry from Shot Quality, host of the Justin Perry Show. You guys have been streaming live here from Circa.
Oh, yeah.
You've been hanging out in Vegas. How has Sin City been treating you, man?
Oh, I love it here. There's really no better weekend to be in Las Vegas, watching some college basketball, sweating out a few picks, fading the Mountain West, tailing the Pac-12. It has been a fun one.
Hey, fading the Mountain West.
Utah State, baby. Utah State.
They had to get one, right?
Boys from Logan never let us down. By the way, can I just...
Hang the banner.
By the way, can I just... I had to laugh at the time-honored tradition of March where Impractical Jokers is on... Everybody's screen. You wake up groggy-eyed from a long night of watching college hoops. You're like, what's on my television? Oh, there it is. Oh,
yeah. What's Sal doing? What's he dressed as? Yeah. Right. Why is True TV still on?
Enough slander about my family in the Mountain West. Let's run into these games. You know, we've been kind of going back and forth. I want to start with a game we just wrapped up discussing. Mm-hmm. Neither Femi and I have a bet on this game. It's Gonzaga and Kansas today. So, look, I had Kansas laying 7.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a winner until they completely melted down. And Samford, let's be honest, probably should have had a chance to win that game with a clean block. But regardless, it is Kansas and it's Gonzaga. And we've seen movement today towards the dog. The hooks have all been scooped up. And even in a far-off land, I see a 3.5 out there. So this one just seems a little too good to be true. And I was joking with Femi, Justin, which was, once you kind of start to get fat infatuated with this year's Gonzaga team, they tend to let you down, WCC championship. So what do you look at? What do your numbers say about Zags and Jayhawks tonight?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it feels like we're getting a really nice line here on Gonzaga. I took it at 4.5 last night. It really, honestly, feels like a little bit too big to get the possession plus for me. This Kansas team is still deep. I know everyone's kind of reacting to the McCullough absence for the entire tournament. But, you know, we talk a little bit about it throughout the entire year. Sometimes when absences are announced, the market can get a little too overzealous. And how much is a one player really worth in a college basketball game? It's a heavily debated topic. I don't know if it's 2 or 3 points for anyone, even McCullough. So, you know, maybe Zach Edey can move a line 2 or 3 points for me. And the market might have moved an Edey absence by 4 or 5.
Right.
So I do think a lot of times you can get that edge, especially when it is a good amount of time with the announcement. When you get an instant announcement, sometimes you can beat lines and get in there quickly and get the information before the market. But when everybody has the info, especially right now, you know, I don't want to say the thoughts of the masses, but it kind of is that way, right? We saw it a little bit yesterday morning with FAU getting steamed up to 4.5. And honestly, maybe they should have won. Maybe. I mean, not the greatest last possession there. No.
Neither team wanted to win that
right,
game.
Truly.
It felt like. I mean, Northwestern was giving away. Yeah. I don't know what Davis was doing at the end of that game.
Wanted to be a hero.
And not to get too deep into it, but FAU was the classic case of the betting market, the guys who influenced the market, just being way too stubborn on this Florida Atlantic team. After they beat Arizona, I believe they went 8-16 ATS.
Wow.
I mean, they were a disaster against the spread. And I'll be honest, though, guys, if they had won that game, I would have been intrigued to take the points against UConn. But thankfully, we won't have to get there that particular play.
Look, I'll tell you right now, I'm taking the points against UConn with Northwestern.
Ooh, there we go.
You're in front of the UConn train.
Yes, sir. I did not with Stetson. I was very proud of that with this easy first half spread. But that's not going to be the same thing. Bubui is, you know, I call it the dude factor. And they're going to have to, you know, deal with him. It's going to be a little bit different. I don't know how many guys in the Big East really have the type of ability that he has to really just take over a game from the guard position, especially who, you know, Baylor Shireman, right, is probably the guy.
Like a Kolick, yeah.
Right, Kolick as well. But and he also works with Oso a little differently. But Boo Booey is such a monster, and I'm really excited to see this. I don't really fear the Klingon factor because they've played Zach Edey. They know how to work around
big men.
They've beaten Zach Edey.
Year.
They've seen him, and they've seen him, and they schemed against him. I don't think the UConn attack is going to have that same amount of effect. And 14.5, all you need is a cover, right? I'm not saying they're going to beat him. I still think UConn right now is the team to win it all. They were at the top of our shot quality value bracket, so they were our like most valuable against the market pick, even with how many people were on them. They're that dominant. So I still think UConn is the team that raises the championship right now, cuts down those nets. But 14 against that Northwestern team that really does have the guard play, can kind of play big and gets to the rack. Man, they get to the rack. They force the issue. So I do really like Northwestern. And, yeah, I'm taking another dog with Kansas. So we'll see how this goes. It's going
to
be fun.
Hey, I do want to get to that because the Gonzaga, they beat McNeese 86-65. We're hanging out with Justin Perry, analyst over at Shot Quality, the Justin Perry Show. What you guys do is like stripping away all the variance, because we know that a basketball game is just a bunch of variance. Who's making three-pointers? Who's not making three-pointers? What are the actual quality shots, and what was the actual authentic score?
Right.
Was Gonzaga's win over McNeese, was that an authentic performance there? Like, should bettors be looking at that saying, hey, maybe McNeese was just cold for that day, and it made Gonzaga look a little bit better than what they actually are heading into this game against Kansas?
Yeah, that's the basis of what shot quality is all about, right?
Yeah.
Being able to go in there and dig into some of the data so that we can understand, all right, who really got hot. And I do believe it was a lot closer. McNeese, a little bit cold there, had the score right around
86-83, you guys had it.
Man,
that's
a little different than what the actual score
was. That's a little different. And again, that's the power of it. I don't know if you go in there and immediately say, okay, like, you know, Gonzaga's like frauds or something like that. But you have to understand that these final results, they do impact the way that the market sees every single game. You have Gonzaga coming off a 20-point win in a game where, you know, they were a tight favorite as well, a 3-4-point favorite. And now it looks like they beat that team that spread by 15. It might lead to some, you know, leans towards giving them those extra points, the juice coming in on them a little bit here, the movement for sure. But if that game was replayed 10,000 times, essentially the way shot quality works, we would have projected it to be a lot closer for the Will Wade's team to hit some of those shots. McNeese definitely has the guys to do it. Got a little cold. You could just look at the box score. Their shooting percentages are not what they do for the whole year. And is that a little bit of luck? Yes. Could that give you that extra 1 point, point and a half edge to fade Gonzaga here today? I think so. It's not exactly one-to-one, but you start adding it in with some other factors, the way this matchup's going to go, the depth of that Kansas team. I do think it's just another reason you want to take the points today.
Well, and that's, I mean, look, betting the NCAA tournament, we all do it. It's a ton of fun, but it could be brutal. It could be absolutely brutal. Sometimes you're on the right side of a team that gets red hot. Look, I bet, you know, Texas A&M yesterday, they couldn't miss. I'm like, all right, sweet. But I also had Morehead State. Mm-hmm. I had Akron and teams that kind of fell apart. But I want to get to Akron because I like pain, I went and looked at the shot quality box score after the Akron-Creighton game. And I'm like, what is this going to be? Because Creighton, very good three-point shooting team, but they went 10 of 16 from long range. Yeah. So I went and looked at that shot quality score. And then I looked at what Oregon did too, because you had Quiznarko for 40. And I'm like, all right, is that sustainable? So what do you make of this game? Because as of right now, really the position I like the most is Oregon plus the points. And the market has moved that way. You're seeing DraftKings down at 4.5. This opened 7 at DraftKings. So I didn't get the best of the number. Was able to get a 5.5 out there all day yesterday. Still fives out there. I think still playable at 5. So I'm curious your breakdown of what we saw from Creighton and Oregon in round 1 and how it translates to today.
Yeah, no, I think you're pretty spot on. I grabbed the 5 myself, so I am on Oregon here.
We're all on the Ducks.
Quack, 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 baby.
Quack, quack, baby. Bunch of 3 quacks in the studio today, boys. Yeah, but
let's hope not at the end of the day.
Akron, what, 11% on guarded threes in that game against Creighton, right? It was their worst on the season. 2 of 19. That's crazy. Like, they could go out there, they retry that. I guarantee you they're going to at least hit 3, right? You know, that's what ends up happening. 11% is not really a sustainable number, even at the lower end. Creighton shooting, like you said, like 10 of 17, 10 of 16 on those threes.
Yeah, I think it was 10 of 17. I think they took a late three from one of the walk-ons. Right. But like the starters.
That's their best of the season.
The starters was 10 of 16.
Right. So you're coming off your best three-point shooting performance of the season, and you're Creighton, one of the best shooting teams in the country. There's two ways to take this. Are they good? Is that too hot? Were they a little too, were they overperforming?
Right.
Or is this really like the best team and they're finally here and they're feeling good and they're hot and that performance level is going to sustain over time? It's tough. You have to make that call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're hot, they're going to stay hot. Oh, they're hot, they're going to cool down. But the advantage that you have is knowing that they are hot and being in that position to make that call rather than being like, oh, that was a normal performance. No. Creighton, again, even on those guarded threes, 7 of 12. So when people were in that's their crazy face, they really were still candidate. I do like the size of these Pac-12 teams. That's what's really stood out to me. Size feels like a huge deal in this tournament that maybe people aren't talking about the way that they used to in years past. It used to be like a huge deal. Oh, this team's long, this team's tall. Pac-12, long, tall, all of them. James Madison, you watched them on that floor with Wisconsin. The minute that game started, I'm like, oh, it's the same size as this Big Ten team.
Yeah.
And look what happens. It's competitive. If you have the body to throw out Kalkbrenner here today, I think the Ducks are alive.
Yeah. Have you heard of Infali Dante? He's pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll have Justin Perry in studio with us in the next segment as well as we continue to roam through today's games here on the Lombardi Line. There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 that you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use code TLL when you sign up. Remember, code TLL and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. This is specifically for our VSiN viewers and listeners here. Take advantage of it. What better time than with 8 games today, 8 games on Sunday, then we'll get rolling on to the Sweet 16 next week. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Bebefe alongside Tim Murray, Justin Perry of Shot Quality in studio with us for a couple segments. We appreciate you taking the time this AM before all the madness resumes bit later on in about a couple hours from now. But I want to ask you about the game that does start in 2 hours, that starts things off at Salt Lake City, Dayton, and Arizona, the Wildcats. Look a little shaky there for a little bit in the first half, but then they ended up going ahead and pulling away from Long Beach State for a 20-point victory, landing right on the number. They're now laying 9 against the Flyers, total 150. Dayton probably very fortunate to be in this game after their comeback against Nevada here. How do you square this one upside or total?
Oh, man. A little personal bias in this play for me. I am taking the favorite. I'm going with Arizona. I took Dayton. +320, +360 live money line when they were down at the half. I should have waited for like +700, but it doesn't matter. insane comeback. Who would have thought, right? They were down like 10, 15. I was like, okay, maybe they do this. They did. I think it's really hard to come in and follow that type of performance up where it was not just Dayton actually overperforming, but also a little bit of a collapse. Right? Like there's no way about it. You don't just will your way one-sidedly to a result like that. It is a two-sided thing. I don't think they go in against this Arizona team. -9 feels really nice to me, honestly. I also, there's a really a factor here. Salt Lake City tipping off the day. That's like a 9:30 type tip.
10:45.
Still, right, mountain. Okay. So here, 9:30. But they're they're not far from us. And so this is a really early start for these teams. I'm not sure. I'm not going to jump right into, slam and under. But I think this could start like a little messy. And I don't know if that's going to be good for Dayton. This Arizona team, what they're able to do, they're a little scary. And again, feeling that Pac-12, hitting these money lines, hitting these parlays. The first half I think might be a little bit close, but I love my second half plays right now. I've been playing second half on a lot of these big, honestly, favorites, because you get like a -3.5 in the second half before tip, and then if they're losing or it's tight, they have a really good chance to come out and sort of have that, you know, two halves of the same game type thing. It's really a tale of two halves so often. So I do think this is a spot where Dayton can stay close early, and then I expect Arizona to be the much better basketball team by the time we get to the second half. They'll just flex their muscles. Caleb Love, he's that guy, man. I can't wait to see the inevitable matchup against UNC, because I hope that the tournament gods give us that one.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'm curious about is who controls the tempo in this game. Arizona top 20 in tempo, and Dayton's one of the slower teams in the country. And that's where the profile of an upset-minded team is what Dayton is, right? Slow and shoots a ton of threes.
Yes.
And if they can get hot, that's where I think things get interesting. So I have not played this one. I think when you look at just what an upset-minded team is supposed to do, shoot threes at a very high, you know, the variance that we talk about so much.
Yep.
Keep it slow, shoot threes at a high level, and we'll see if Dayton's able to do that. Sticking with the Pac-12, a game that I think you and I, Femi, are intrigued by, and maybe I go back and forth because, well, first off, I had Drake, and we discussed this last night. Yeah, I have a Drake problem.
I know.
Two straight years up.
Start from the bottom. We're still on the bottom.
Yeah, we're still on the bottom. But let's go to Washington State, Iowa State.
Oh, all right.
So Washington State, very long, and you've got this Iowa State team who's elite defensively. Market is betting Washington State.
Yep.
Sevens have all disappeared. It's down to 6.5. What do you anticipate happening in Omaha later on today around a 6:10 tip time between Wazoo and Iowa State?
Look, I had a nice winner. One of my favorite plays of the season for the tournament was going against Iowa State in the first half. And that had a lot of things to it. I'm pretty sure there was like a coaching tree rivalry there. So there's some gamesmanship.
Well, Otzelberger was the coach at South Dakota State. Then he went to UNLV.
And the current coach at South Dakota State was on his staff.
Yeah,
so that's always some gamesmanship, especially when you're starting the game. You're going to play hard. You know how to scheme against him, but the best man kind of won, right? There was a pull away. I think it's the same thing here. Washington State is going to give him a game in the first half. It's just going to be tough for Iowa State. Their dependency on two-point shots makes them a perfect target for that style of play. But then once you get into their defensive scheme, they will figure out Washington State. It's not an if, it's a when, right? So in that case, you want to be ready to go. Once it starts feeling like the Washington State shots aren't falling, they're not getting that same level of space, and maybe they're not getting down low as much, able to deny the penetration that Washington State is trying to get to their big guys, because they do have that size inside. Like that, you're going to notice it immediately. But I think Iowa State's going to have a real advantage on the guards, and that's the type of thing that really does come around late, right? You have to take care of the ball. You have to develop good shots. You have to find guys when they're open. I think Iowa State's going to start really getting those types of looks in the second half. Washington State maybe blitzes them, maybe hits a few of those threes in the first half to kind of give them the edge. Because, again, when you're not playing the three game, which Iowa State just does not. They choose not
Neither
to.
One of these teams really shoot the three that well.
Yes, but I think when you look at Washington State, they're going to have a real potential to come out fiery, kind of bring some of that energy, and then it's just going to be a long 40 minutes. I can see them kind of withering away. That's kind of the way I see a lot of these teams coming in today. I like a lot of the favorites. I tweeted out I have like almost every favorite advancing except for Gonzaga today. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to get hurt. I'm so ready. The madness has been nuts. I mean, you sit here and you profess to know ball, and all the people who know ball, their brackets are gone. Auburn, oh. St. Mary's.
Like my wife let me know last night that she's kicking my butt in our bracket.
There you go. No, I'm losing. Sure. You know, you see Joe Lenardi's losing to the family dog. You know, like it's tough. It's tough. You make these shots, you take these risks, you give yourself a chance to be at the top, but it also means you can look pretty ugly if it doesn't go your way. So yeah.
You said that you're ready to get hurt. How about Rick Barnes? Laying 6.5 against his old school Texas there. It's been a while since he's been in Austin, but now on Rocky Top there, the total's at 146. I know a lot of people always kind of circle Tennessee as a fade this time of year. You're going with them, though. You think that this is a pretty good spot for them to go ahead and advance to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I don't think they have I don't think Texas has the depth, honestly. And I had to eat it. I had to eat some crow. I played some Tennessee in the SEC tournament, and that was ugly. But, you know, I think I kind of went into something that I've talked about a little bit, which is when you have these teams that are so set on the big dance, they tend to not win their conference tournament. It can be a little bit of a balance, right? And like we saw Wisconsin get really deep, and then that run kind of tires them out. I'm reminded of like Iowa years ago, who like won the Big Ten and then left in the second round. Tennessee has that rest advantage a little bit now over some of these other teams. They're feeling maybe their legs are a little bit fresher. They're going to be able to press, and you kind of get the feeling that this is the game. This is the tournament they cared about, not the SEC. And so, yeah, Rick Barnes against his old team. A little fun action like that in Creighton, Oregon today too, right? Dana Altman. It's going to be fun. I do think that we see it's a suffocating effort from that Tennessee defense. It is really good. Dalton Kennett, if he plays anything like he did on Thursday, I don't think it's going to be very close. They would need an all-time shooting performance from midcourt Max. I love the guy. He's awesome. He will show up today. He's going to have to take over. But I think it's just going to fall a little too short. It's going to be close to the end is my prediction. But like free throws, that type of thing. Like, don't worry if you're sweating this one out at 2 points with 3 minutes left. I really think they close the door at the end. Texas takes some bad shots. They tend to do it to themselves when Texas falls apart. So, they're going to need to hit a lot of shots today over this Tennessee defense to really get it done. And I don't see it happening, but maybe I get Barnes again.
For a 16th straight year, we will have a double-digit seed make the Sweet 16. Yeah. We know that because Oakland is a 14, NC State's an 11. Greg Campy, what a great story. You know, 40-plus years awesome. Of coaching. And we're going to have a clip of him in a little bit breaking down this game. But you look at Golkey and the performance that he had and hitting 10 three-pointers. You guys are the kings of the regression, right? Yes. So 10 of 20 from three. You got NC State, who is – there may be no team hotter than NC State. Five wins in 5 days, and now here they are. So this is a game we haven't hit on yet. What do you expect today in Pittsburgh between Oakland and NC State?
I don't think they're going to let Golkey take 23s. I really think they're going to have –
just watching him.
It's a little – it's different, right? And, I mean, there were reports that they really did catch – Kentucky off guard with the scouting, right? And that's a little embarrassing. But I don't think it happens again. They're going to need to – Oakland's going to need a big Trey Townsend game today. That's my feeling. And maybe from their other big guys too, but he's going to have to go off the way he did against Kent. And, man, we're seeing both those teams that won on buzzer beaters, Yale and Oakland, beat their team – the favorites in massive upsets after getting super lucky. I mean, that kind of goes against so much of the way I think. Like, oh, this team is here off of, you know, a lucky shot, but – maybe you have to be good enough to give yourself that chance to get there, right? And sure, did Auburn blow it? Did they miss like four free throws and three layups? And that's exactly how Brown looked in the Ivy Championship, and Yale's still dancing. I don't know. You kind of have to trust yourself and say, all right, maybe this is where Oakland falls flat. I tend to think they do. NC State's a wagon. The size, the shooting, they're playing a great ball. And I don't know if we get another all-time performance from Oakland, but I'll be here eating my popcorn either way.
Check out Justin Perry's work over at Shot Quality. Thanks for joining us in the studio, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be back on the other side.